I'd like to call your attention to just a part of the first verse that I read. There's two subjects in that expression, but there's only one that I want tonight. Now I want you to notice carefully. This whole chapter, or most all of the book of Romans, has to do with the practical life, practical godliness, things that we should do, things that we should live by. I just read in your hearing a moment ago that God did many things for us, and because the law was weak in that the law was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I'm just sure that tonight I won't make everything that would come to your mind as a question. I'm sure that I won't answer that. Will you understand something about the gospel of Jesus Christ? We believe that it's like the angel was talking to John. It's the everlasting gospel. We only get a part of it at one time. But I want you to notice this verse. It says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now there is one subject or one text that leads or speaking concerning things that are eternal. Now I'm absolutely sure tonight of the things that I speak. But simply because I'm not going to tell you something that the Word of God does not teach. But I want you to notice the rest of the verse. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now there's another subject that has to do with you and me. Just briefly, it simply teaches that long as you and me walk just and upright, long as you and me strive to keep the commandments of God and walk close to Him, we don't feel a condemnation within. So then, you can easily see, brethren, that the thing under consideration in the text, really and truly, pertains to a practical life. Practical godliness. But I won't just half of that first verse. It's just as true in the eternal sense as it is in the practical. So I'm going to start with this expression where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now then, I'd like for us to think for just a moment. Somebody might say, well, I don't know whether I'm in Christ Jesus or not. And somebody might be wondering, how in the world do we get into Christ Jesus? Now, we're talking about spiritual things tonight. We're not talking about natural things. And don't forget this, that if God hasn't touched your ear, so to speak, that you can hear spiritual things, you won't understand what I'm talking about. The understanding must come from God. I'll quote that text and it reads like this. The Bible says that all understanding, I don't care whether it's natural or spiritual, all understanding comes from God. You be sure of that. I'm not criticizing people. Everybody in this world has a right to their own beliefs. They certainly do. I don't refer to any individual so far as what they believe is concerned, only just to show you the difference in error and in truth. I told you that I was absolutely sure tonight of the things I was about to speak of, simply because it's thus saith God, and I won't have to change it. I won't have to sit down with a regret that I might have said something that I shouldn't have said, so far as Scripture is concerned. So let's don't forget tonight. The world is filled today with the idea or theories, and has been ever since the beginning of the world, so far as that's concerned, that if we have performed some certain performance before the Almighty, that He might see our good works, and then the things of His eternal promises would become effective with us. That never was so. There is, it doesn't teach that in the Bible. Now then, I want you to notice what this says. I want to say just a little more about God and His Word. And let's don't forget that the Apostle Paul is teaching, and it's all through the Bible, concerning God, He cannot lie. Neither can He deny Himself. We don't know God. Why, certainly not. We'll never know God in His fullness. He is from everlasting to everlasting. In the book of Hebrews, it says He's without descent. He's without father or mother, without beginning of days, nor end of life. So let's don't forget that. We don't understand that, but we don't, thank God, we don't have to understand it before we can believe it. But now let's hurry on. I wouldn't get started tonight even if I could go back and set a God out as an outstanding creature or creator, I mean. So then, let's don't forget. We're examining tonight those that are in Christ Jesus. That's my subject. Now then, it said, there is therefore now no condemnation. Now, condemnation certainly means rejected. Condemnation certainly means that we're condemned. And I might state just briefly to show you at least in what sense that we are condemned. Let's don't forget that when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, that He told them what they could do and what they could not do. You go back and read the first three chapters of Genesis, you'll find out exactly what I'm talking about. I won't have time to go back over all of that. But after that, God had prepared the Garden of Eden, He placed man and Adam and Eve in it and told them what they could do and what they should not do. Now then, somebody might say, well, He couldn't have it. There is no such a thing. God doesn't tell us to do a thing that we can't do. I know, sir. I'm trying to show you the condemnation which we are under. So then let's don't forget that the God told Adam and Eve, of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't bother it. That's the very thing that they done. They partaken of that forbidden fruit, and therefore they fell in transgression. In other words, they are dead in trespasses and in sins. He's not dead naturally, but He's dead in trespasses and in sins. So then that's how that the individual is dead. Don't forget that God told him just before that he partaken of that forbidden fruit, He said that the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So then we know it's not a literal death, because He didn't die a literal death. So He died in trespasses and in sins. So I want you to bear with me for a while and take this Bible and study it carefully. In that condemnation condition, I want you to tell me how that an individual is going to get out of that condemnation. So then, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Now then, it said, there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So then, let's look and see how he got into Christ. I'm not going to quote all the texts that might have reference to that, but I want to show just a few of them. Let's go to Ephesians 1 and 4, and it reads like this. It said that according as God. Now let's don't forget right here, we're talking about three persons, not three gods, absolutely not. The Bible, John said in John 1 and 5, 1 John 1 and 5, it said there are three that bear record in heaven. Now that bear means to possess or carry or in possession, ready to deliver something. He goes right on and tells us that that record is eternal life. I want you to turn over there and read 1 John the 5th chapter and see what I'm talking about. So there are three that bear record in heaven. Let's don't forget that. And it said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So then these three, Paul said, not three gods, but one true and a living God. They are one in harmony. They are one in thought. They are one in action. They are one in everything. So let's don't forget. Now then, let's go over here and see just a moment of what God the Father did before the world began. Some people would tell you that you got to do this or should do that and this. I'm going to tell you, brother, and I said before, it's not in the Bible. I'm going to tell you exactly how you got into Jesus Christ. And if you're in Christ Jesus, heaven and immortal glory is going to be your home. Wholly unconditional on the part of the individual. I'm absolutely sure of that. This text said here that the Word of God are pure words. Now let's see how pure it is. David said, the words of the Lord are pure words, pure as silver, tried in the furnace of earth and purified seven times. So then how much purer are you going to make something than something is purified seven times? So let's don't forget, whatever God has done or whatever He said is, there's no variances in it. Now then, let's go to Ephesians 1 and 4, and it'll tell us exactly how we got into Christ Jesus. According as God has chosen us in Christ Jesus before the world was. Do you believe that? Then if you don't believe the Bible. But that's exactly what it said, Ephesians 1 and 4. According as God, I think that he's talking there about God the Father, has chosen us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we weren't there, were we, to direct his steps? No, sir, we surely weren't. We weren't there to suggest to him as to what to do. So it was done in that covenant of the three and one before the world began. Let's see if we can get another text concerning as to how that we got into Jesus Christ. I remember that somewhere in Romans, I believe in the 8th chapter, it says that we, that ye, Y-E, ye are His workmanship. Now then, this house is some man's workmanship. It sure is. And after that it was completed, there was no work, more work to do. So then we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So that's another way how that you got into Christ Jesus. I'd like to say just a little bit more about this creative work. So this is a creative work, and God, in that creative work, placed us into Christ Jesus. We're His, just as much so as our children are ours, are mine and yours today. We have two boys and two girls. They're our children. They certainly are. And there's not a way in God's world to make those children somebody else's children. I know, sir. Let's don't forget. Somebody might argue, but they could be took up for adoption. Well, to be sure so. But if they lived 100 years and you searched the records diligently, whose children would Mr. Brown have? He'd have the children of J.C. Smart. If all of my children was adopted and he reared them to 100 years, they would still be my children. Brethren and sisters, I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're in Christ Jesus, you're an heir of God. And a joiner, that means equaler, with our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to show you some work that God did before the world began. So then He chose us in Christ Jesus before the world was. Now then, in this creative work, I firmly believe, let me say first before I go any further right here, that everything that we ever need as children of God in this life, it was treasured in Christ Jesus by God the Father before the world was. It surely was, and was bestowed upon the individual in time. So now then, we're talking about time. We're talking about something that God did here in time. And that's in this creative work. And how did He create us? Well, He created us by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is. That means any person. It doesn't mean just man. The word man means an individual. He means individual. This Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That is, he's a spiritual creature. Something that's been wrought within him by the Holy Spirit of God made him a child of God. That's the difference in our understanding of the teachings of the Bible and the world. The world says we've got to assist God or else. No, sir. Absolutely not. I'm trying to tell you tonight the things that God did. I told you that I was going to give you just exactly what the Bible said. So let's don't forget we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto a good work. There's not a person in the world that can perform good works. No, sir. Until God works within you first, and then brethren and sisters, as you can do. You can do good works. Listen to this text. It says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now there's a text that's directed to you and me. Work out your own salvation. The trouble is with so many people in this world, they get that time salvation mixed up with the eternal. I want to tell you, sir, that there's many salvations taught in this Bible, but there's only two distinct kinds. One applies to natural life, the other to the eternal side. So that this text says, work out your own salvation for or because. That poor word for means because of. Now you watch it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling for or because it is God that worketh in you both to do His will. So then, you can see that we must be born again or we can't perform good works. But I'm getting away from my subject. I'm talking about being in Christ Jesus. So I've got two texts before you. One is by choice of God before the world began. The other is through the creative work. It's a change from nature under grace, so to speak. This flesh of Jimmy Smart hasn't been changed a bit so far as the flesh is concerned. But I want to tell you, sir, that God has taken away a hardened, stony heart. That simply means, let me get the rest of the text. The Bible says that God has taken away our hardened, stony heart and has given us a heart of flesh. That simply means that He's changed our desires. Why, to be sure, we once walked according to the course of this world, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But in the time, God, yes, sir, He rearrested us, and He changed our course. Sure He did. And He took away that hardened, stony heart. It simply means He changed our desire. He sure did. So then, there's a battle. The Bible says that God made us His children by the Spirit, that it left three things. I want you to notice what it did. When we were made the children of God by the Spirit of God, the Bible says, now abide in faith, hope, and charity. Brethren, I'm going to tell you, there are three graces that abound in that child of God, regardless of the way he walks. But let me tell you this part, just as certain, sir, we do things that we know better than to do, we're going to feel a condemnation in here. We sure are. We're going to feel condemned because we said things or done things that we should not have done. Don't tell me, sir. Back gunner, several years ago, more than 50 years ago, when I walked according to this course of this world, I done everything in God's world. Unless I'd kill a man. I don't think I ever killed anybody. But and when I felt like the Lord was dealing with me, I didn't feel good enough. I just couldn't believe to save my life that God, being so good and so great, would look down upon a man that had gone so far into the world and in so wicked that he would ever reach down and with his hand of mercy and lift me up like he did David. David said, though thou hast lifted me out of the mire pit wherein was no water. It's talking about spiritual water. And so then it was God that lifted him up out of darkness, and not only that, but translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Did you notice that text? It told us that it was the work of God, and that it was him, if you please. It's God that lifted us out of a mire pit. And therefore, he did it because we were his by choice. Well, to be sure, the Bible abundantly teaches in the foreknowledge of God that he saw us in the sense of redemption. Sure, he could see us while there was not yet any of us. Let me read just a text here. Who will explain what I'm talking about? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now then, that's what God did before the world was. Those that he did foreknow, he did those that he foreknew in the sense of redemption. That's what he's talking about. I need arguments like this. Going back when God made choice, I want to tell you this, that the earth and its fullness belong belongs to God. Well, let's never call God in question as to why He made a choice. We'll go back to Ephesians 1 and 4, and it said that according as God, who has chosen us in Jesus Christ before the world began. I'm going to tell you, sir, since the earth and its fullness is the Lord's, He had a perfect right. He certainly did. Let's never call God in question for choosing a prophet of the Adamic family into everlasting redemption. No, sir. I want to tell you, sir, that He had power. He has power, and He's always had power over all flesh. Certainly so. So then He was perfectly just in making choice I'll take this position. Anytime that you can put every people or all the people of this world into God's eternal covenant of redemption, I'm going to tell you, sir, that they'll be in heaven and immortal glory on the merits only of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all of them will be saved in heaven and immortal glory. But let's get back. We're talking about getting into Christ. The text said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I'm taking the position tonight that if you're in Jesus Christ, yes sir, your heaven will be your home. Holy, unconditional, on the part of yours or the individual. Let me prove that with this text. The Bible said that Jesus came into this world to give, did you get that? To give eternal life to as many as the Lord has given Him. Now then, that's God's business. I'm not here to tell you how many that it is, but I can go to Revelations and tell you exactly what the Bible said. And here's the way it reads. If you want to know how many that God gave in the chosen in Jesus Christ before the world began, let's go to the book of Revelation. We'll find out exactly. And John said, and he saw the resurrection. Yes, he did. He saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. Here's the eternal resurrection, brethren. Here's the ones, if you please, that were chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began. And the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, you can fix that. You can use all the computers in the universe if you want to, and all of them together couldn't possibly, and most of them couldn't possibly number the number, if you please, that God has chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began. Because God said His seed or His children were as the sand of the seashore, innumerable. Isn't it wonderful that God was so mercy and that He chosen just that many to be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. If He left it to you and me, we'd have done just exactly like Adam and Eve did. We'd have chose the wrong path. Why, to be sure, so a lot, the Armenian world will tell you that you ought to do this and that, and then they'll quote this text where it said, where Joshua said to all of the people that he was leading into another country, I think it was Joshua, and he said, told them after they had reached into their new country, he said, choose you this day, yes sir, whom you will serve, and then they'll teach you that you can either serve God or the devil. You can make your own choice. That never was so. That misapplies the very truth. I'm going to tell you, sir. Now, let me go on and quote the rest of the text. It's self-explanatory. And no, sir, He did not give people the choice. I'm going to tell you, you'll never find where God in an eternal sense referred to us as taking choice. No, sir, let me go back and get the text. It said to choose you this day whom you will serve. And now then, watch carefully. It explains who it is. Either the gods of the land in which you dwell. Yes, or they're idol gods. They're idols. It's not a real god. It's a god with a little g. It sure is. You can serve, choose you this day, the gods of this country or the gods of the Amorites from whence you come. So then there is what the choice was under consideration. It mean to choose God or the devil. I know, sir. They simply meant it didn't make any difference which one of the idols that you choose. So make your choice this day. Then he said just before that, why stand ye between two opinions? If God be God, then choose Him. Oh, I sure. Then But let's don't forget that those false idols of either country from where those people came were not the God that we're talking about tonight. It surely wasn't. I want to get another text as to how that we know that we are in Christ Jesus. Now then, I think thou said enough about how you got into Christ. That's not all of it by any means. No, sir. But at least that's a starting place. Now let's bring up some evidences. You know, I love to know. I like to know that I'm a son of W.A. Smart. And the only way in the world that I could find out was to go back to Comanche, Texas. And I went into the clerk's room. I looked over the records. And there I found all the history of W.A. Smart and Mose and Familiar Smart. I found everything in regards to them and their children, one by one, the dates and everything. Now then, I want you to see, and that brought assurance to me, not that I ever doubted it, but I just like to look over the record, and that's exactly what I've been doing tonight. Here is the record I'm trying to tell you about it, and let's go over here to John, about St. John in the 5th chapter, and let's read the chapter just a minute, and it reads like this, and maybe I'd better turn and read it. I might not get it quoted just exactly right, but Jesus speaking said, "Verily, verily," it means truly, truly, "I say unto you, that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath," H-A-T-H. Every one of us in the congregation knows that that's in past tense. I want you to notice that. It said here, "He that heareth my word." Now, it doesn't mean natural hearing altogether. Why, certainly not. He means if you hear with understanding, if what I'm speaking to you tonight is a comfort, if you feel like sometimes that that's what you had believed all your life but didn't understand it, you know, that's a very possible. Sure, we can be a child of God and not know it. Why, to be sure. So when our children was born to us, they didn't know that their mother was their mother when they were born. So it is with the child of God. Go back in John and read where God was talking to a person, and he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That doesn't mean heaven and the martyr glory either. It certainly doesn't. It means the church of God. He must be born again. So then, the word here means just what it says. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." In other words, if you believe on God who has sent Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice what the result is. If you believe that God is the Christ, then he... everyone that believes on him hath everlasting life and shall not. I want you to notice this. Here's some more, something else about condemnation. "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that has sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And so then, that's in perfect harmony with Ephesians 2:1, that reads like this. It said, "And you hath he quickened," that means to make alive spiritually, "and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Yes, he's quickened you together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So you can easily see what he's talking about here. So let's don't forget, here is some evidences that we have to carry along with us in this life when we doubt the words of God. I'm sure sometimes or another in your life that doubts and fears come, and you wonder if really and truly is there a God, or if you're a child of God. Listen, brethren and sisters, I'm really going to spend the rest of my time on some evidences of the fact that we are the children of God. I want you to listen to me. Now then, it said in John, 1 John, the 5th chapter, "He that believeth that there is a God that hath," H-A-T-H, in past tense, already in possession, if you please, "sure, of eternal life." He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is not going to be or could be, but is born of God. Brethren, I'm going to tell you, if your children are born to you as a child, how in the world are you going to unborn them? I want you to think of that just a minute. Let's see how you can unborn that child. There's not a way in the world. Anybody knows that? Why, sure. Now, we're in Christ Jesus. We're the children of God by the Holy Spirit. Have been made the children of God by the Holy Spirit. So let's don't forget, if we're God's people, I'm going to tell you that God loves us. One of the old prophets, listen to what he said. He said, "The Lord of old hath appeared unto me, saying," this is one of the statements of the old prophet, "and to the best of my recollection," it was 1400 and something years before Jesus Christ ever came into this world. And listen to what that old prophet said. He said that God, the Lord of old, hath appeared unto me, saying, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." There's a promise I want to tell you, sir, of Almighty God. If God once loved you, brethren and sisters, He loves you with an everlasting love. He's not like an individual here, a human being. I'm going to tell you, this Bible says that God's ways and His thoughts are higher above our ways as the heaven is above the earth. So let's not forget that. You'll never understand the great ways of God, but there, just go back to the text. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So then, let's don't forget that's in the eternal sense. Now then, let's go over here. I believe it's into the book of Ephesians, and I want you to notice right carefully with me here and show you something else that God has done for you and me. Here is some evidences, brethren and sisters, that I don't want you to leave without, and I hope they'll sink deep in your hearts. And when the billows of trouble rolls, or doubts and fears comes in this life, that you'll go back to this very night where you had some of the divine promises of Almighty God to which we can hold. Yes, sir, in the hours of distress, it said, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself." That's the way God works. Sure, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. Here is some of the works of God. I'm going to tell you that man, he's not instrumental in. No, sir, he did it before man ever came along. Now then, I wonder, let's go read it all and see something about why that He did it. I like to sit down and to watch God work. There's a counsel of His own will where none can stay His hand or say unto Him, "That Jehovah, why doest thou?" And He said, goes right on, He says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Now then, you can easily see, brethren, we didn't encourage Him. We didn't prompt Him, no sir, but since He owns everything, I want to tell you, He works the counsel of His own will, and there's none that can stay His hand or say unto Him, "But Jehovah, why doeth thou?" Now then, we wonder sometimes, I wonder what He did that for. Well, it tells us exactly that it might be to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He, God, hath made us accepted in the beloved. So then, if we had a choice in that thing, or if we were supposed to do something in order to obtain, I'm going to tell you, there's not a man in the world that can find a place for this text here. I know, sir. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. So then you can see that's the work of God, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. I want to tell you, there's the greatest subject, a great subject I want you to think about sometimes, the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. I told you I wasn't going to let you leave here without some evidence. Let's get another text and place to the side of this. It says we know. Now then, sometimes we hear people say, especially when they are asked about whether they are children of God or not, a thousand and multiplied maybe can tell you, well, I don't know, but I hope so. That's about the way they express it. Listen to this text. God said, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now then, if you love those that love God, that's evidence to you that you've been translated from the darkness into the kingdom, light and the kingdom of his dear Son. So then, there's some more evidences that we have. Let's repeat it. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now then, that's some evidences, isn't it, that we have in this life. And he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There are some evidences that we have in this life. Sure. So then, you can see that in the work of God, he gave us something to which we can cling. Now let's go back to the tenth. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. Now that's what God is going to do. He's just as certain as he made you a child of God, he's going to keep you by his sovereign grace until the morning of the resurrection. Now then, I'm going to close with this thought. I want you to go with me. I would like to go back to Romans and read just a few lines or verses there for you to think about as we go on our way. I want you to notice just what it said here. I'll find it in just a minute. I think it began with about the 28th verse. For whom he did, the 29th, for whom he did predestinate, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. Now then, that's what we're someday going to be fashioned like under the glorious body of Jesus Christ, and we're going to live with him forever. That's exactly what he said here. For whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now, you be sure of this. I want to drop this to you. I was talking to a boy here not long ago when I was in Texas. 1947, I was in an association in Fort Worth, or in Phoenix, Arizona. This boy that I went over to Stevensville, Texas from Comanche to hear preach that night, he was from Tennessee. And he said it was, they told me that Billy Huckabee was going to preach there that night. So I went in, I met Billy Huckabee, and quick as I went in the door, I didn't know any of them people, but one man is all I knew. But there was a lot of people there, and here come Mr. Billy to me, and he said, Brother Smart, how are you? I said, all right, but I said, I don't remember you. I don't believe I ever met you, did I? He said, yeah, but you might not remember it. He said, when you was preaching in Phoenix in 1947, I was just a stripling of a boy, and he says, that's the first time I ever wanted to preach. I was when you was preaching, and he said, I'll never have forgot you. And so, brethren and sisters, there's something, if you please, that sticks to the individual, and that let me get back to what I want to talk about here. Them he also called. Now God does the calling. Let's look how he calls him. He calls the individual, and that's by the effectual calling of God. His love constrains the individual to come out of the walks of this world. Yes, sir. He causes them to lose what they once loved of this world. He sure does. His love constrains them to take up his cross and to follow him. That's what he means here. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He'll call you, brethren and sisters, out of darkness. Oh, sure. You might be like I was when I felt like I had to preach. You know, that was a long time. First time I can go back to a recollection when I wanted to preach.